Application-Oriented College English Course Book 2
由上海交通大学电子音像出版社录制出版
Unit 1 Part 1 Language Skills Development
1. Starter
B. Listen to the dialogue and choose the best answer for each question you hear.
Why are you so late, honey?
I tell you, I caused myself so much in shame a while ago.
What the hell happened to you?
As I was about to walk into the elevator, I noticed two black men already aboard. One of them had an intimidating figure.
Did you hesitate about joining them in the elevator?
Yes, that is for sure.
What then?
I hesitated for seconds before joining them in the elevator. Then I heard one man say, "Hit the floor."
Were they going to rob you?
That was my first thought, so I threw out my arms and collapsed on the floor.
You must have been panicked.
Yes, but that man explained to me that he didn't mean for me to fall on my knees. He told his companion to push the elevator button for the floor they were going to. He had quite a lot of trouble holding in a belly laugh.
Oh, what a spectacle you made of yourself.
You bet. It was my own racial stereotypes toward black people that put me into a state of embarrassment.
I think it's time for you to get rid of your old ideas.
2. Text. Thanks for the best laugh we've had in years. On a recent weekend in Atlantic City, a woman won a bucketful of quarters at a slot machine. She took a break from the slots for dinner with her husband in the hotel dining room. But first, she wanted to hide the quarters in her room. "I'll be right back and we'll go to eat," she told her husband, and carried the coin-laden bucket to the elevator. As she was about to walk into the elevator, she noticed two men already aboard. Both were black. One of them was tall, very tall, an intimidating figure. The woman froze. Her first thought was, "These two are going to rob me." Her next thought was, "Don't be a bigot. They look like perfectly nice gentlemen." But racial stereotypes are powerful, and fear froze her blood. She stood and stared at the two men. She felt anxious, upset, and ashamed. She hoped they didn't read her mind, but gosh, they had to know what she was thinking. Her hesitation about joining them in the elevator was all too obvious now. Her face was flushed. She couldn't just stand there, so with a mighty effort of will, she picked up one foot and stepped forward and followed with the other foot and was on the elevator. Avoiding eye contact, she turned around stiffly and faced the elevator doors as they closed. A second passed, and then another second, and then another. Her fear increased. The elevator didn't move. Panic consumed her. "My God," she thought, "I'm trapped and about to be robbed." Her heart sank. Sweat poured from every pore. Then one of the men said, "Hit the floor." Instinct told her to do what they told her. The bucket of quarters flew upwards as she threw out her arms and collapsed on the elevator floor. A shower of coins rained down on her. "Take my money and spare me," she prayed. More seconds passed. She heard one of the men say politely, "Ma'am, if you'll just tell us what floor you're going to, we'll push the button." The one who said it had a little trouble getting the words out. He was trying mightily to hold in a belly laugh. The woman lifted her head and looked up at the two men. They reached down to help her up. Confused, she struggled to her feet. "When I told my friend here to hit the floor," said the average-sized one, "I meant that he should hit the elevator button for our floor. I didn't mean for you to hit the floor, ma'am." He spoke pleasantly. He bit his lip. It was obvious he was having a hard time not laughing. The woman thought, "My God, what a spectacle I've made of myself." She was too embarrassed to speak. She wanted to make an apology, but words failed her. How do you apologize to two perfectly respectable gentlemen for behaving as though they were going to rob you? She didn't know what to say. The three of them gathered up the scattered quarters and refilled her bucket. When the elevator arrived at her floor, they then insisted on walking her to her room. She seemed a little unsteady on her feet, and they were afraid she might not make it down the corridor. At her door, they bid her a good evening. As she slipped into her room, she could hear them roaring with laughter as they walked back to the elevator. The woman brushed herself off. She pulled herself together and went downstairs for dinner with her husband. The next morning, flowers were delivered to her room, a dozen roses. Attached to each rose was a crisp $100 bill. The card said, "Thanks for the best laugh we've had in years." It was signed, Eddie Murphy, Michael Jordan.
New words.
Bucketful.
Slot.
Laden.
Elevator.
Aboard.
Intimidating.
Freeze.
Bigot.
Racial.
Stereotype.
Hesitation.
Blushed.
Mighty.
Avoid.
Stiffly.
Panic.
Consume.
Trap.
Pour.
Instinct.
Collapse.
Prey.
Belly.
Confused.
Spectacle.
Respectable.
Scattered.
Unsteady.
Corridor.
Bid.
Roar.
Laughter.
Deliver.
Attach.
Crisp.
Proper nouns.
Atlantic City.
Eddie Murphy.
Michael Jordan.
6. Practice. Listening.
Listen to a story about an extremely self-satisfied woman's racial stereotypes and then complete the following notes with the appropriate words.
On a flight, a middle-aged white South African woman found herself sitting next to a black man. She called the flight attendant over to complain about her seating. "What seems to be the problem, madam?" asked the attendant. "Can't you see?" she said. "You've sat me next to a black. I can't possibly sit next to this unpleasant person. Find me another seat." "Please, calm down, madam," the attendant replied. "The flight is very full today, but I'll check to see if we have any seats available in club or first class." The woman gave an unfriendly glance at the angry black man beside her. A few minutes later, the attendant returned with the good news, which she gave to the woman, who looked at the people around her with a very pleased and self-satisfied smile. "Madam, we do have one seat in first class." Before the woman had a chance to answer, the attendant continued, "I had to get special permission from the captain, but in this case, the captain felt it unfair that someone should be forced to sit next to such an unpleasant person." With these words, she turned to the black man and said, "So, if you'd like to get your things, sir, your seat is ready for you in first class." At this point, the surrounding passengers stood up and clapped their hands loudly as the black man walked up. Part 2. Language in Use. 1. Dialogue. At the reservation desk.
With the quarters they won at the slot machine and a dozen $100 bills from Eddie Murphy and Michael Jordan, the woman and her husband are leaving Atlantic City and planning a trip to Vienna. They are calling Evergreen Hotel in Vienna to reserve a room. Sophia is a reservations clerk at the hotel. She takes the phone call to reserve a room for the couple. Read and listen to the dialogue, and then complete the reservation form.
Evergreen Hotel Reservations. Sophia speaking. How can I help you?
Yes, hello. I'd like to make a reservation for next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights, please. I'd like a double room for two people.
So you're arriving on the 11th of July and leaving on the 14th of July?
Yes, that's right.
And would you like a smoking or non-smoking room, sir?
Non-smoking, please.
Non-smoking? Yes, we have a double room available for those nights.
Oh, good. How much is it, please?
The room rate is €285 a night, so that's €855 total.
855? Yes, that sounds fine.
Good. May I take your name, please?
Yes, it's John Woods.
Could you spell your surname for me, please?
Sure. It's Woods, Woods. First name, John.
Okay. I've got that, Mr. Woods. Have you stayed with us before?
No. It will be our first time in Vienna. My wife and I are going to spend the weekend sightseeing.
I'm sure you'll enjoy it. May I have a contact phone number, please?
Sure. It's 44 for the UK, then 131-7457-129.
Did you say 44-131-745-7129?
Yes, that's right.
And your address, please?
It's 14 Hope Street. That's H-O-P-E.
Hope Street. And what's the name of the town or city, sir?
Edinburgh. Do you need me to spell that?
No, it's okay, sir. Edinburgh, Scotland. And your postcode, please?
It's EH23QL.
Sorry, sir. Could you repeat that, please?
EH23QL. Edward Harry 2, 3 Queen London.
Thanks. Now, what time are you arriving on Friday?
The flight lands at 2:15 p.m. We'll be there by 3, I expect.
3 p.m. Okay, sir, that's fine.
Will you send me a confirmation letter, please?
Of course, sir. What's your email address, please?
It's jj_woods@znet.co.uk. That's jj_woods@znet.co.uk.
jj_woods@znet.co.uk. Okay, Mr. Woods, that's all I need to know.
Oh, don't you need a credit card number or something to guarantee the booking?
No, sir. Because you're arriving before 6 p.m., that won't be necessary.
Oh, okay, good.
I'll just read that back to you. You're arriving at 3 p.m. on Friday, the 11th of July, and staying 3 nights.
New words.
Surname.
Sightsee.
Underscore.
Guarantee.
Proper nouns.
Edinburgh.
Scotland.
2. Pair work. Reserving hotel rooms. Reference answer.
Fortune Hotel, reservations desk. How can I help you?
Yes, this is Henry Bradley calling from Seattle. I'd like to book a room, please.
Yes, Mr. Bradley. For when?
From June 14.
How long will you be staying?
About a week.
What kind of room would you like, Mr. Bradley?
I'd like a double room for my wife and myself. By the way, what's the rate of a double room?
It's €140 for a superior and €120 for a standard. Which one would you like?
€120 a night is okay. It's about $100, isn't it?
Yes, Mr. Bradley. A standard double from June 14th to June 21st. Am I correct?
Yes, that's right.
What time will you be arriving?
Around 4 o'clock p.m. By the way, do you have the airport shuttle bus?
Yes, Mr. Bradley. We have airport representative desk. Just contact them and they will help you.
That's fine. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you for calling, Mr. Bradley. We're looking forward to your coming. Goodbye.
3. Text. Burj Al Arab, Ultimate Luxury.
The Burj Al Arab in Dubai is the world's tallest hotel building. At 321 meters, it is taller than the Eiffel Tower and only 60 meters shorter than the Empire State Building in New York. This unique sail-shaped building stands on an artificial island in the Persian Gulf. The hotel lobby is big enough for a 38-story building to fit inside. The Burj Al Arab does not have ordinary bedrooms. Instead, it has 202 suites. The price for a night's stay in the least expensive suite is over 1,000 euro. Every suite has a spectacular sea view. Rolls-Royce limousines pick up the hotel's guests from Dubai's International Airport, 25 kilometers away. Alternatively, you can land your helicopter on the helipad high up on the side of the hotel. The most luxurious suites are the two royal suites on the 25th floor. They both have a private elevator, a private cinema, rotating beds, and even dressing rooms which are larger than the average hotel bedroom. A night in one of these suites can cost over 15,000 euro. Diners at the Burj Al Arab are spoilt for choice. They can dine 200 meters above the sea in Al Mantaha restaurant, below the waves in the famous Al Mahara seafood restaurant, which has an underwater entrance, or al fresco, on the beach. In total, there are 8 bars and restaurants in the hotel. Although the Burj Al Arab is one of the world's most expensive hotels, it will probably never make a profit.
New words.
Ultimate.
Luxury.
Artificial.
Lobby.
Sweet.
Spectacular.
Limousine.
Alternatively.
Helicopter.
Helipad.
Luxurious.
Private.
Rotate.
Al fresco.
Proper nouns.
Burj Al Arab.
Dubai.
The Eiffel Tower.
The Empire State Building.
The Persian Gulf.
Rolls-Royce.
Al Muntaha.
Al Mahara.